Welcome, baseball family, to this week's Thursday Night Live with the Baseball Together Podcast. I am Brad, and as always, for this dance party, I'm joined by our guy, Brig, on my left. How are you this evening, Brig?
I am gleeful. How are you, Brad?
I'm great.
Awesome.
Gleeful. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. It's a good place to be.
It is a good place to be. I'm very happy for you that you're gleeful. That's very good.
Thank you. Yeah.
Well, we have some very interesting things to get into tonight, Brig. One of them in particular, we have one Freddie Freeman. We talked about this a while ago back when the news came out for this. That was interesting. Disturbing, I think, is a word that we may or may not have used. That his agent did not present him with the final offer from the Atlanta Braves before he went over and signed with the LA Dodgers. Well, one Doug Gottlieb, the man who broke that story via Twitter, and I think maybe through his on his radio show, I don't know for sure, but anyway, he has come out and said that is incorrect. That's not how it went down. I'm going to read this directly from Gottlieb himself. He said that he tweeted out an apology on Wednesday. He said, upon further vetting of my sources, another way of saying upon further review, a review of the lawsuit filed against me in this manner and a direct conversation with Casey himself, Casey Close, he's Freddie Freeman's former agent, I have learned that the conduct I allege did not occur and that there is no credible basis for stating that it did. My ultimate investigation into this matter confirms that Casey Close did, in fact, communicate all offers to Freddie Freeman, and the sources I relied on were incorrect in no uncertain terms. Wow.
Yep.
Now, I got to tell you, Brig, I think I brought this up before because one of the things I thought was really interesting about it is that Doug Gottlieb, a basketball guy first.
Right, you did bring that up.
Yeah, not just a basketball guy, but a college basketball guy first.
Right, yep.
And so it was interesting. So there's that tie to baseball. So I know that he'll talk baseball periodically. But I did think it was interesting that he had sources within baseball who would feed him this kind of information.
Right. Well, so and if you remember, we talked to David Sampson about it, and he said, no, this is a bunch of baloney. He said, there's no way, there's absolutely no possible way that this is going to happen. So,
yeah, especially since, like, one of the things he talked about is that players like to have kind of like a middleman, almost like a man inside, right? Somebody who they're close can kind of work, I mean, other than just their, which I thought was really interesting, but all a whole lot of sense.
Sure.
Because there are some agents who have been accused of not exactly having their client's best interests in mind. So,
and if you're not going to take care of yourself, nobody will.
Exactly right.
So a little built-in redundancy never hurt anybody.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
But Sampson also said that the teams would never have not communicated directly with the player to be sure. Like direct communication between Freddie Freeman and the Braves absolutely had to have occurred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it makes sense too, especially if the front office is like, we want you to be a Brave, but this is the best. So it's,
I agree
the way that it has and unfold. I'm curious if there was a different reason fired, if this was not, if maybe there was some buyer's remorse agreements part right after trip back, Anna, right?
Yeah.
So I assumed that it was because of this. That this had happened, and also maybe he was just like, I would have been willing to take less money and stayed. I don't know. What it comes down to though, ultimately, with this is be aware where the news is coming from.
Yeah,
if it's coming from a strange place, I want somebody else to correct it.
Bingo. Ooh, wait a minute. That's a bingo. Is that how you say it?
I think so.
No, you just say bingo.
Like
Baseball family, if you're watching, name that movie. Go ahead. Go ahead. I dare you.
Absolutely. Some seeds in it. Maybe not. I don't know. We'll see. But anyway, let's for a minute break. And with inflation, always conversation about Patreon.
Yeah, that's right.
Our inflation, our price, always the same. 5, 10, 50 tiers, you can get the bullpen cut and other benefits for less cost every month than Brig pays for his bougie coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it looks delicious, but it is expensive. That's but anyway.
Both are true.
Anyway. So hop on to Patreon Baseball Together and you can support the show. Let's talk about rules, Brig. Baseball rules.
Okay.
And the rules by which the game is played. Major League Baseball is going to be voting on rule changes for next year. Specifically, bigger bases, a pitch clock, and banning the shift. And when it comes down to banning the shift, there will be specific guidelines to prevent certain shifts. Like, I think we talked about the pie slice in the minor the minor leagues right now, right?
Yeah.
Play directly on behind second base. You've got to choose a side and go with it. Exactly. And I think that one of the other guidelines they've been talking about is cleats on the dirt. Is that infielders can't play in the outfield. So that in particular. Which of these? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I like the idea of banning the shift. But
I do too.
Yeah, I mean, there's the argument about just hit the ball, like play baseball. But I think it would that ultimately the reason I like it is because it will result inevitably in a little bit more small ball. That will speed up the game, that will increase the excitement and the pace, will feel faster and things like that, even if it's not actually faster, even if what we end up with is a longer game by the clock because guys are moving around the bases more, it's going to feel like it's a faster paced game, and that will be better. So I think the trade-off here is worth its weight in gold, in theory. Obviously, we're going to see what it looks like in practice. We got to figure out what it's going to be like in real life. But right now, I support banning the shift for that reason. Eyes on the game, butts in seats.
I totally agree with you because, I mean, basically what you said is there will be more base runners. You look at how often a ball is hit right at a guy, and it's like that's not the natural position. Like, especially with the Astros with Jose Altuve, he's playing in such he's not playing second base. He's playing a shallow right field.
Yeah.
And there are so many balls that he's able to get to because he's playing so, so far back from his regular position that so many of those balls would get down, they would get by him. And honestly, I feel like the Astros might be one of the ones who are going to suffer the most defensively from this. From offensively, I mean, they'll probably be just fine. Right.
Yeah, it's not going to hurt them there. Yeah.
Yeah, but I think their defensive stats will probably struggle. But there will be a lot of teams who do just because they don't have guys positioned exactly where they want them to be. And it'll be interesting to see. How do you feel about bigger bases, Brig?
Hold on. I got to say one more thing about the shift. It'll be really interesting to see how gold glove awards change. Honestly, think about it. Think about it.
Yeah.
You have to play, you know, near the pure position. You know, you're going to see more spectacular plays along with, you know, more misses and base hits going up the middle and things like that. Like, you're just going to see, you're going to get the trade-off. And that's what I'm excited about. I want to see this gold glove thing is we're going to get a little bit of a return to glory on that. And I think they're going to be a little more hard-earned, which will make them all the more special.
I think you're right, and I think that because there's a stat, at least on Baseball Reference, that they use that like it's like range factor defensively, you know, and I think that those numbers are going to have to change.
Yeah.
That we might end up seeing guys who have more range showing that off more than guys who don't. And there's going to be kind of a sifting of the elite from the very good. So,
yep.
That's a great point.
That's thrilling to me. That's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Make guys play actual defense.
That's going to make Goldie look even better, honestly, and Arenado. And, you know, I think O'Neill Cruz is going to have a really good shot with his size to show off how big he is. And you get some speedsters out in the outfield. Like, man, it's going to be There's going to be some exciting diving catches, etc. I'm pumped.
Yep. For sure. So, I feel like the pitch clock is something we... No, you're fine. The reason I skip over the pitch clock mostly is because I feel like we don't really notice it. Like, you've talked about how you've had it in minor league baseball. Or you've seen it at the minor league park.
Oh, yeah.
And sure. You see it during spring training, but you don't notice it.
No.
It's so I don't think that's going to be a big deal. But the bigger bases, do you think that'll be a big deal?
For everything I've read is that the bases aren't going to move. I hate the idea of them moving closer than 90 feet unless it's going to be just this tiny little sliver of a margin. And what they're advocating is, if I remember right, it's only a couple of inches.
Yeah, I think it's not 2 inches on each side.
Yeah, it's not 3 or 4. If it was 3 or 4, I would be up in arms. I would have a problem with it. But anything two or less, I think is okay. And I want to, but I don't want it to be hard, like set in stone. I want to pilot it for a year at the major league level. And I know they've been doing that in the minor leagues, but I don't think they have enough eyes on from the fan base. And I don't think they have enough data, honestly, from the players to really see what it's going to be like and how it's going to affect things at the major league level. Because we all can sit here and pretend that at the minor league level and in the South Atlantic League and whatever, that they are tracking the tiniest nuances the same way and with the same intensity and the number of of coaches involved in every little teeny tiny detail like they do at the major league level, but it's not true, right? It's just not. They don't have the staff for it. They don't have the time, the developmental time to really spend on every little teeny thing. So it is a game of inches. It's going to come down to inches, and this is going to play out, I think, probably more dramatically at the major league level than we've seen it and whatever the proofing has been at the minor league level. That's what I think.
I think so too, because one thing they don't have in the minor league level either is big league speed.
Yeah, no.
There are a few guys who will steal like 80 bases in a minor league season and just because they're that much faster than everybody and anybody else's arm. But at the big league level, everybody's fast, at least to some degree. Well, for the most part. I watched Casale run the other day for the Mariners. I was like, dude, I might be like that fast right now.
I don't think Kirk is that fast. It was Alejandro Kirk's probably not that fast.
You're right.
But yeah. I'll tell you what, guys like Vogelbach move way faster than you think they do.
They do. They do. Yeah.
It's astonishing. But
then you've got like the average speed in the big league level is higher than that of the minor league level. But then your speedsters, guys like O'Neill Cruz, Julio Rodriguez, Sam Haggerty, Trey Turner, just to name a few off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Like, those guys are going to steal way more bases, and that's what we want. That's what we want to see.
Right.
So
it'll be interesting to see.
It'll be.
I want a real data set with a real sample size, but I don't want them to get hung up on it being the best thing ever yet. We'll see.
Right. I will be excited, though, if stolen bases go through the roof, because that'll just be absolutely amazing to watch.
Yes.
There are few plays in sports that are more exciting than a stolen base.
Yeah.
So last thing we have before we get into the games is the New York Mets have put Max Scherzer on the IL. What a terrible time for that to happen.
Oh, bro.
Like the worst time for that to happen.
I'm so concerned.
So first off, the Mets have let the Braves catch them.
Yeah.
They currently have a lead because they played a doubleheader and they swept and everything. But at the same time, though, like at one point in the last 24 to 48 hours, they were tied with the Braves in the National League East.
Yeah. 86 to 51. It was a clean tie. Yeah.
So
now it's only a half a game.
What it was.
It's only a half a game right now because the Mets played that Pittsburgh doubleheader and now it's 87-51 to 86-51. Half a game.
Okay. Yeah, so half a game. And so it's a left side injury for Scherzer.
Yeah.
It's 15-day IL. The earliest he can return is September 19th. But that could be enough for the Mets to, as we say, met the bed.
As you say.
Because the Braves are
yes,
hotter than just about anybody right now. They're playing better baseball than anybody in the league right now. And
it's true.
I'm nervous. They're going to be in Seattle this weekend. So,
yeah, you should be. Let me tell you this, though. This is who, so let's give him all the way till the 20th even. Let's just say the 19th or 20th he's going to come back, right? This is who they play. Marlins, 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 Cubs, 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 Pirates, 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 and then on the 19th is the Brew Crew. So if it was going to happen,
now's the time.
It's the worst time chronologically, right? Like this late in the season, it's a big fat rut row. But with the schedule they have over that period of time, and you know they put him on the 15-day and backdated it a couple of days.
Yeah, they did. Sure. It was retroactive to the 4th.
Of course it was. And they get the flexibility to do that because of the nuances in the schedule and all sorts of other reasons. But this is not something they're overlooking because they're going to need to show up against Milwaukee. But, you know, and I know you don't want to be sleeping on any team on any given day. Anything can happen. But at the same time, 3 games against Miami, 3 games against Chicago, 4 games against Pittsburgh, all while Scherzer's out. It's just not as threatening as you might think.
It's true. I will say the problem with the Cubs, though, that anybody can have is that the Cubs are not a good team, but they could still come out and beat anybody on any given day. They're one of those teams. It's like they probably won't, but they could. You know, like I don't feel that way about the Pirates. Yeah. I don't feel that way about the Marlins anymore or even the Reds anymore. But I feel that way about the Cubs because they're so strange. But
it's kind of like that with the D-backs right now. You're like, what?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. They're not a good team, but you can't sleep on them because they can still come out and beat you.
Thumbs down tier.
That's right.
Not yes, poop. That is, thumbs down.
That is the definition of the thumbs down tier. Maybe next year we'll make that the sleeper tier, the sleeping emoji, because these teams are mostly asleep, but then they'll wake up and they'll come beat you a game or two and then they'll go back to sleep.
Baseball family, if you don't know what we're talking about, on Tuesday we released our emoji tier episode of the podcast on the Big Show, where we talk about it's our version of power rankings. And it comes out every month. And this month, things moved hard this year or this month. So we usually keep the categories evenly dispersed with 8 teams here and 3 teams there and whatever. This was all over the place.
That's right.
It was awesome.
Yeah. It absolutely was. All right, let's get into this week's games of the week. Brig, you want to lead us in and tell us about what's going on Apple TV Plus on Friday night?
Apple TV Plus, 8 p.m. Friday. That is tomorrow. Guardians, I can't believe I said that, at the Twins, the Cleveland baseball team. They're breaking me down or something. Maybe I'm just tired. I don't know what it is.
Full season. It's been like a year actually.
I know, and I have only broken down like twice. Anyway, Cleveland's baseball team is going to play the Twins on Apple TV Plus. The game starts at 8 p.m. Friday the 9th. Cleveland's baseball team, geez, is 80-65. They're 80-65. They've gone 3-7 in their last 10. The Twins, 68-67. They've gone 4-6 in their last 10. To me, this is like really interesting if you're desperate to see who is going to take the division in the Central. But otherwise, it doesn't matter. I don't feel like either of these teams really are a problem for anybody largely once we get into the playoffs. And I don't think they're ALCS problems. It's a 2-game race. The Twins are only 2 games behind Cleveland. And that's it, though. I think that's as exciting as it gets.
Well, the other thing with this, though, is that the White Sox took 2 out of 3 against the Mariners earlier this week, which put them right back in the mix. Right. So both of these teams are really, I mean, obviously you want to win every game. They want to beat each other because they're in the race. But they've also got the White Sox breathing down their neck now.
Yeah, 2 games, yeah.
So I think it's a pretty interesting series, but mostly just because whoever wins this race is going to play the sixth seed, the last wild card team. So there's that. But this is the game I care about. This is the series I really care about this weekend. At 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, you've got the Braves at the Seattle Mariners. That game is also on Apple TV+. The Braves are 86-51. They're 7-3 in their last 10. The Mariners are 77-68-2 in their last 10. So the Braves, like we talked about, they're sitting a half a game. Coming into today, sitting a half a game back of the Mets. They're really good, and I think this is a great test for both these teams, especially for the Mariners, see how they can do against top-level talent, the top-level team in Major League Baseball. It could be kind of a foreshadow for how things are going to look in the playoffs, because this is going to be a playoff atmosphere at T-Mobile Park. People talk about playoff atmosphere all the time, and this is it. This is going to be it for sure for both of these teams. So very exciting series. Like I said, I'm obviously going to be watching because I'm a Mariners fan, but this is going to be a great series to watch this weekend.
Well, and Seattle's a half a game up in the wild card race. They're sitting pretty, not comfortably, but they're in a spot where they could stay and make it to the playoffs right now.
Yeah, especially since going into today, Baltimore's 4.5 back of Toronto. Yeah. So they have 5 games on Baltimore. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And they're only behind Tampa Bay by a game.
Yeah, and I'll take it.
Oh, yeah, against Tampa Bay? Yes.
Yeah, yep, for sure. And you know what? The Mariners play better on the road anyway. So take them on the road for the wild card. It'll be just fine.
Totally.
I'll be just fine.
So, again, at 7 o'clock on ESPN Plus, they're playing baseball games now on ESPN Plus. ESPN Plus, 7:05 tomorrow night. Is Rays versus Yankees. This is fabulous. This is fascinating stuff. The Rays are 77-58, 8-2 in their last 10, Mr. Brad. And then the Yankees are 83-54, but 5-5 in their last 10. And in case you're not paying attention, they are 5 games back. The Rays have only 5 games to make up to take the division from the Yankees in the AL East. The Yankees are driving the struggle bus.
But, Brig, the Yankees, for those of you keeping track, have won 4 games in a row.
Yeah. Is it 4? I thought it was 5.
I believe it's 4. Yeah, they're trailing right now, but with a good chance to pull ahead or tie the game in the bottom of the 8th. But, no, they've won 4 in a row. And I don't know. Could be clicking. Could just be bad. Really bad teams. I don't know.
The Yankees, the remainder of the Yankees schedule is fascinating because they're going to play the Rays, 2 games against the Red Sox, 3 games against the Brew Crew, 2 against Pittsburgh, 4 games against the Red Sox, 3 games against the Blue Jays, 3 against the Orioles, and then they're going to finish it out with 4 games against the Rangers. So. You could sit here and say, oh, wow, the Yankees should win all those games. And you're right, they should. But at the same time, there's no guarantee. The Rays schedule, obviously they play the Yankees. Then they're going to play the Blue Jays in a 4-game set. Is it 4 or 5? 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 games against the Blue Jays. Then they play Texas. Then they play Houston for 3 games. Then they're back into another 4-game set against the Blue Jays. Then they're going to face Cleveland's ball club. And then 3 more against the Astros. And then they finish out 3 games against the Red Sox. So the Yankees, they have a chance to still keep the division theirs just based on their schedule. And with the injury stuff kind of coming out, I mean, DJ LeMahieu went down today, but Nestor Cortez came back. So, I don't know how to feel. I don't know how to feel, Brad. But the Rays, if the Rays can dominate the remainder of their schedule, they may just deserve to win the division because of how hard their schedule is remaining. Yeah. I don't know. I just said that out loud. The Royal, we are offended.
All right. Let's go on to Saturday. Okay, regional coverage on Fox. This is based on your location, and you can check your local listings to see who's playing whom in your area on your TV box. 7:15 p.m., both these games. You've got the Angels at the Astros. The Angels are 60-77. 8-2 in their last 10, though. The Astros are 88-49, 7-3 in their last 10. I feel like the way this is going, the Astros or the Angels could do the world a favor and beat the Astros a couple times in this series.
Totally.
They're playing well right now. They're really playing well. Got Trout and Otani both playing amazing baseball, and anything can happen in this series, I feel like, especially with the division rivalry. You never know.
Totally.
There's that whole thing. The other game, you've got Cleveland at the Twins. We already talked about that series anyway. Some playoff implications, but at the same time, Not fantastic baseball. 2:20 p.m. though, you've got the Giants at the Cubs on ESPN Plus. The Giants are 65-71, 4-6 in the last 10. The Cubbies are 57-70, 2-10 or 2-8 in their last 10. I mean, we talk
57-80. They're 57-80. Not 70, 80. They've lost 80 games.
Goodness. Yes, yeah, they have.
It's a rough deal.
That's bad. That's bad.
2-8 in 2-8 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Bro,
well, God, that's so bad. I can't get over the Giants though, Brig. I just can't get over the Giants.
Oh, me neither.
The meteoric fall from last year. Seriously. This team that won 108, 109 games, whatever it was, and now they're trying to get to 70.
Yeah.
Probably won't get to 70 wins this year. They're crazy.
29 games back from the Dodgers, and that's a little bit unfair, but the Cubs are 23 and a half games behind Cardinals. Sorry, Cubs fans. I had to tell you. I mean, you know.
They know. They're aware.
Cubs fans aren't casual fans.
Well, and the thing is, in the Cubs, I'm sure Cubs fans are just like, it had to be the Cardinals. Has to be the Cardinals.
And on Pujols' final year and very likely Molina's final year. And
we'll Wainwright.
Wayno for sure.
Yeah. That's yep. Awesome. Go ahead and tell us about Sunday's games, Brig.
So one thing you need to know about Sunday is all 18 Peacock games have been played. They are no longer under contract to show any more baseball this season. The September 4th game was it. So no more Wake Up in Baseball. I apologize for that.
Bummer.
Not that it's my fault. Don't at me. Okay, so 2:10 p.m., Cleveland's going to play the Twins on ESPN Plus. That's Sunday, September 11th. And then 7 p.m., Giants-Cubs, ESPN. Brad, my question for you is, what series are you most excited about? Super duh.
Atlanta at Seattle. 1,000%. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm nervous. I almost, you know, I thought about, instead of going last week or a couple weeks ago, whenever it was that I went up and watched Cleveland play Seattle, I considered actually going to this series, but the way that my time off with work worked out, it just made actually a lot more sense to go the other time. And it worked out because, you know, each year a weekend. So that was cool.
I was just going to say, like, how you beat that? You don't.
Well, the thing is that, like, growing, you know, everybody grew up watching TBS. So I grew up naturally as the Braves were my National League team. Always have been my entire life. I could, up until a couple years ago, I could give you 1 through 9 and all starting 5 pitchers for the 95-96 Braves, right?
Yeah.
And so seeing the Braves in Seattle would have been like a bucket list item for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Like I said, work didn't work out that way. But what series are you watching this weekend, Brig?
Yankees Rays.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Easy.
I figured. Our teams have a lot going on with the playoffs right now. With this playoff push, these are big series, and baseball family, your team probably does too.
Yeah,
if you're honestly not paying attention, you really should be paying attention now because getting to be a big deal, big old pickle. Big
deal. I think that the Dodgers mathematically will clinch this weekend.
Probably.
I mean, honestly, that's nuts. It is early September, and we're like, well, let's just give it to them.
Going into today, they had a 19-game lead on the Padres.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a good portion. It's a good portion of the season, Brig.
Yeah. I think they played each other 19 times, right?
They might have.
Like something like that.
I think so, actually. Division games, yeah, for sure. Yeah. But baseball family, forget you can support the podcast. We talked about Patreon before, but another way you can and support your mouth is by going to schnookseatery.com and using code BTPOD at checkout. Briggs got Smokehouse Barbecue. Those are fan freaking tastic. They are coming
up
on the inside lane for me to becoming my favorite flavor. I love them so much. I downed a package yesterday.
They're so good.
So good. So like I said, use code BTPOD at checkout to save 10% and support the podcast. Tell them about the shop real quick, Brick.
Listen, we have a shop and it's got stuff on it. It's all baseball stuff and it's on a shop. It's at 9plusus.com. You spell it out, NINEPLUSUS.com. 9plusus.com. I'm wearing my official Baseball Together t-shirt for the podcast. This hat says Yagyu. That's how you pronounce it. It means baseball in Korean, and that's part of our KBO collection. Go check it out. The end.
For sure. And don't forget to like, subscribe, rate, and review the show. Let us know what you think about what we're doing. Subscribe on the YouTubes and anywhere you get your podcasts. You don't miss an episode because you don't want to miss a thing, in the words of Aerosmith. But baseball family, thank you again for joining us. We will catch you next week.